Hi, my name is Andrew Connell, and in this brief video, I'm going to walk you through the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices Sample core.javascript injection. In an effort to help customers address the most impactful and useful scenarios, the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices group has created a number of code samples that complete common customer scenarios. The code is published in a public GitHub repository located at https://github.com/officedev/pnp, and it contains solution packs of content as well as sample packs of sample code that has been reviewed by the Office 365 team and blessed as a recommended way to approach these different scenarios. This application sample demonstrates how to perform JavaScript injection to update SharePoint sites. This approach is preferred over customizing the master page. Microsoft does not recommend creating custom master pages or customizing the default master page in site collections on SharePoint Online. The reason for this is that if the master page is customized, the site collection will not get any fixes or new capabilities that are added to the platform by Microsoft. This is because customized master pages do not inherit or automatically receive updates to the base master pages that Microsoft can maintain. As such, Microsoft recommends using JavaScript and CSS to introduce site-wide customizations to a site collection when master pages would have typically been used. This sample will show you how to inject JavaScript into the site. Let's see the sample in action. Now let's take a look at the demonstration for this sample. Before we dive into the code and explore what this project actually does, let's deploy it and let's see it in action. What I've done is I've gone into the JavaScript injection SharePoint app project and I've changed his target site to deploy to be my Office 365 developer site. So I go ahead and just click start and let this guy fire up. Once the app has been installed, I'll go ahead and trust it. The start page for my app is going to be the home page on my remote web. So here we are at the JavaScript injection homepage. What I'm going to do is I'm going to click on the inject customizations. And what that will do is that's going to provision a JavaScript file and add it to the host web where I installed the app to change the look and feel. So let's first take a look at the host web. Here it is, the Office Dev PNP site. You can see it's at PNP 05. So let's come back over here and let's click on inject customization. All right, so the customizations have been injected. Let's come back over to my site and let's refresh the page. I'll do that as a hard refresh to make sure everything gets in there. What you can see here is a JavaScript. The JavaScript has been injected into the page, and what it's done is it's added in this little status bar. And as I navigate through my site, we should see this status bar keep showing up. If I come back over to my app and I click on Remove Customization, and then go back to the site and refresh the site, we should see that's now gone. So let's take a look and see how this works and how it was implemented. First of all, with the SharePoint project, if I look in the app manifest, it's a provider-hosted app that's pointing to the default homepage or the default page inside of my remote web. As far as the permissions go, we've been given the host web full control. The reason why it's been given full control is because we need to provision a file up into the parent site and make some changes, and that's something you need full control. Now let's come over here and look at the actual page. So default.aspx, there's nothing too interesting in here because it all is going to just boil down to these two buttons, submit and remove. So one is inject customization, one is remove the customization. Let me back up a bit. If we look at the code for this file under default.aspx, we're going to skip past the pre-init, and we're also going to skip past the page load because all that does is just add in the Chrome control. You can see here on the submit and on the remove, they're just simply calling methods addJSLink and deleteJSLink using a client context that's been created using the SharePoint Context Provider class. If I look at the addJSLink, what's happening? Well, what I'm doing is if I go back and I look at my project real quick, and I look under these scripts, you see I have a script here called Scenario 1. If you look at Scenario 1, what you'll see here is it's going to be calling this function called remote manager init, remote manager inject. It's going to load jQuery. And then once jQuery has gone ahead and loaded, it's going to go ahead and run this code. This code is going to use a little function that we have here that says, are we currently on the viewlist.aspx page? And if we are, go ahead and remove the element on the site called create new site. I didn't go show that, but that would have been removed on the view list page or the site contents page. The part that we did see is when it said set the status bar. If you come down here and look at the status bar, what you'll see is that this is going to use the sp.ui.status.addstatus method to create a new status message. This is the message that's going to be created. The true part right here says it's a sticky message. Don't let it go away. And then right here, this is going to say change the color of the message over to yellow. So how is that JavaScript getting on the page? Well, what you'll see here, let me scroll over just a little bit. Right here on line 78, we're getting a reference to the actual scripts folder on the site that we're presently on. Right? So I'm finding out that I'm currently on like localhost and a certain port number. I have a scripts folder, so it's trying to get a reference to that. It's then going through and creating this little revision. So that's going to ensure that you can see here, it's adding a revision to the URL, a little revision query string, and that's to ensure that the JavaScript is not cached. And then finally, what it's doing here is it's adding in the scenario.js file. So now I have a link pointing to the JavaScript file that lives inside of my remote web, but I need to get it on my SharePoint site. What I'm going to use is a string builder to build up a string. What you'll see here is I'm building a little JavaScript string here that's getting a reference to the head part of the page, and then it's going through and creating a new variable. So here's the thing that's going to create a little bit farther down. It's appending this thing called, creating this new variable on the page called new script. So what that's going to be is I'm going to create a new JavaScript reference. So that's just creating like a script tag. Every script tag has a type attribute. So I'm setting this to be JavaScript, and I'm pointing in the source property over to the URL of the script that that we got a reference to inside my host web. Then I'm going to the head part of the page. This is inside of my SharePoint site. And I'm going to append this new script that we just created. Okay, then I'm going through and I've taken that entire thing that we built up and stuffed it into this string. So how do I get that on the page? I now have this thing that's going to inject, write some JavaScript on the page. It's going to essentially create a script reference in the head part of my site. And we saw that when that loads, that creates a status message. The way we're going to get this onto every page within our SharePoint site is by using a thing called a custom action. These custom actions are properties on the current SharePoint site. And what I'm going to do is create a new custom action. First, this part right here is just checking to see if the one we're adding already exists. And if it does, go ahead and delete it. The important part is right here. So on line 108, it's going to create a new custom action. It's going to give it a name called Scenario 1. The location of it is going to be a script link. It's going to have a script block property, and we're pointing to the string that we created, and then I'm saving my changes and then using the SharePoint client object model to persist those changes over to the SharePoint site. So this custom action is going to run on every single SharePoint page within that site. It's going to add that JavaScript reference to the JavaScript file that lives in our host web, or sorry, lives in our remote web to the page. And then when that JavaScript loads, it's going to use the SharePoint JavaScript object model to add a status message. The JS link just does the exact opposite, which goes through and says, try and find that same message we just created and delete that custom action. This is a really good option. And in fact, it's the recommended option by Microsoft on how you should be creating custom master pages or customizing the user experience in SharePoint. Microsoft doesn't recommend that you use custom master pages for reasons I explained previously in this little video. Now, this is all done using the app model. How would I have done this using, say, fully trusted code? Well, with fully trusted code, Microsoft doesn't essentially maintain the master page. I maintain it. So technically, I could go create a custom master page and add it to the file system using a feature. I could provision it to the master page gallery using a module. And then I could set my site to use this new custom master page. If Microsoft added any new functionality or capabilities to a service pack, then I'd have to find out what those things were and add them to my own master page. And again, to get the code for all of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group, make sure you go to GitHub at github.com/officedev/PMP. If you want to discuss these different samples, ask questions, and interact with the team, they have a dedicated group in the Office 365 technical network in Yammer. Just go to yammer.com/ITProNetwork and look for the group called O365 Dev Patterns and Practices.